The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to the Play Action Podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, joined, of course, by Catherine Fitzgerald. Catherine, you had to hop back on a plane to get back from, well, you were going to go to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. So you were in Atlanta. You were there for a couple of hours, and now you're back because the Bills hired a head coach.
They hired a head coach and wanted to be back here for the press conference and all that is to unfold, which we'll get into kind of what's next on this. But the Bills have promoted Joe Brady, their offensive coordinator, to be their head coach. It's a 5-year deal. And a lot of intrigue around this, I will say.
Yes, I didn't see it coming, even though, I mean, Joe Brady, again, I think it's interesting because if you remove the name from the resume, a lot of people would probably be very excited about this. He's the youngest head coach in the NFL. He's worked with an MVP quarterback. He's worked with the NFL's leading rusher. How many points they've scored the last two seasons, how many points they scored in the playoffs in particular. But I think naturally the Bills were going to have trouble with, you weren't going to make everybody happy with this hire.
For sure.
Sean McDermott, for as much as he frustrated a lot of fans over the years, you knew what you had in him. You knew that he could get you to the playoffs. There was a consistency there. And now, no matter who you were going to hire, there were going to be a lot of unknowns. And it was difficult for me, Catherine. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. It was difficult to really react to it because I don't want to be critical about this. I want to hear what the plan is. That's the difficult part about waiting for a press conference. You know, what is Joe Brady's vision for the Bills? How is this going to be different? Because from the outside, I think the narrative that's been crafted, especially nationally, is that this is just more of the same. And I don't think that's going to be the case, right?
I'm very interested to see that, too. I think just kind of getting an idea. We have heard at this point that Joe Brady is going to call his own plays. What does that look like when he's also managing an entire team? Who are you bringing into your staff? How does your play calling change now that you're a head coach? If, you know, there was influence before from McDermott, maybe. We don't know how much. So I think there's just so much to see at this point where I went back and forth where I was like, is this unexpected or is this the most expected there could be? Just in the sense I was, if you had told me they had only done first round interviews and not done second round interviews with anyone, I don't know. I might have guessed Brian Daboll. But I'm surprised they did not continue with second round interviews. That means, you know, they really liked what they found in Joe Brady and they knew some of what they had there already.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Brian Daboll, but when you do really reflect on his time in New York, there were a lot of questions that were raised. There were times where he was very emotional. I mean, he went into the blue medical tent to try to pull Jackson Dart out of it,
yeah,
right?
And you need that.
I think the qualities you're looking for in a head coach is somebody who can be even keel, consistent. Those were a few of the hallmarks of Sean McDermott throughout his time as coach. So, especially when you're playing in big games, you need a coach who's going to keep his composure and not kind of lose it a little bit. And there were a lot of in-game mistakes throughout Brian Daboll's time in New York where, yes, he didn't have the same amount of talent. The quarterback was an issue for most of his time there. But there were enough reasons there for the Bills to wonder, well, let's look at our other options. And I know a lot of people fell in love with the idea of Jacksonville Jaguars offensive coordinator Grant Udinski. He's 30 years old. You listen to his interviews. He's incredibly impressive. He's never called an NFL play, Catherine.
Yeah.
And if you hired him, you'd probably be in the same situation where you're bringing in an unproven head coach, probably calling his own plays. And it's a lot to juggle. So they like what they had in-house with Joe Brady. And it really says to everybody, you know, the Bills decision makers by promoting Joe Brady, that Sean McDermott was the person holding them back.
It is, I would say, very harsh review of Sean McDermott when you look at it that way. But that is how you have to look at it. You know, they promoted Brandon Bean. They promoted Joe Brady. I think it's a little harsh, but it's what they did.
Yeah, exactly. And it does, you know, there's so many questions that should be raised and about Sean McDermott's influence over personnel decisions. And, you know, we can rehash the press conference last week, but let's save ourselves some time here. And it also leads me to wonder, well, what other what other areas of influence did Sean McDermott have that led Brandon Bean to the decision that, you know what, if we put Joe Brady in charge, this is going to be different. This is going to be different. If we give him more autonomy over the offense, even, it could be different. We could not only repeat the success that we had offensively, but maybe even raise that ceiling a little bit higher. And even if you were going to go outside, whether it be Dinsky, Dable, whoever that was going to be was going to hire a defensive coordinator, and you were going to hand over the defense to them. So we're going to look at, you would hope, the same setup here where Joe Brady brings in a defensive coordinator and says, take care of the defense and fix this. Because it was, you look at these playoff losses, Catherine, it was the defense. It certainly wasn't the offense or the quarterback for the most part.
For the most part, yes. I think just kind of looking around at who else they brought in and everything, I was curious. I'm curious now what they do with the staff, where there were some things of like, oh, maybe they interviewed Philip Rivers because they want to bring him on as a quarterback's coach or something like that. Davis Webb, maybe he could be OC here. It sounds likely that he's going to get promoted in Denver where they let go of their offensive coordinator. But I think there are some big questions now about what does Joe Brady do with the rest of the staff, like you were saying?
Yeah, I'm wondering the internal promote, like especially offensively, what they have a big hole to fill at offensive line coach.
100%.
Aaron Cromer not only was coaching the offensive lineman, but he was essentially their run game coordinator.
Yeah.
He had a huge impact in that regard. So do they promote from within? Do they go to the outside? I mean, Joe Brady worked under Sean Payton New Orleans. So does he go to the Payton tree? I think one of the aspects of this decision that has been overlooked a little bit was obviously the Bills were concerned about losing Joe Brady.
Yes.
He had multiple head coaching interviews with the Baltimore Ravens, the Las Vegas Raiders. He was interviewed in Miami, Arizona. A report came out on Tuesday night that Sean Payton wanted to bring him to Denver, yeah, to possibly be the play caller. If they weren't promoting Joe Brady as head coach, he was going to land as either an offensive coordinator or head coach elsewhere. And we saw what happened last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They decided that, you know what, we don't want to promote Liam Cohen. If we lose him, we can replace him like we did with Dave Canales. Well, Cohen goes to Jacksonville,
yeah,
turns that around immediately. Tampa, yeah, they got hit pretty hard with that one. They had trouble replacing him. And yeah, there's a lot of doubt there, I would think. And it had to, you know, you factor that and they know Joe Brady and they feel like he fits within this culture. And I think they didn't want to bring somebody in who was going to be where you were going to have to almost start anew. Like you can really kind of, he can kind of pick up the baton and carry it with that culture piece, which was such a big part of the Bills' success over the 9 years that McDermott was the coach.
It is interesting though, on the flip side of, you know, if you're staying with the culture, you're kind of doing pick up the baton, like you, yeah, said, but they had hit the proverbial wall, is what Terry Pegula said. So do you need more change to get there? I think those are some of the lingering questions of, was this enough change? Was this the right change? That, again, we have a press conference where we'll get some more answers, but a lot of it we'll find out when they take the field.
How is the messaging going to be different than the one that Sean McDermott was giving his players, not only leading into games, but during the games? We saw how tight this team looked in some of the big games over the years, and that's something that they're really looking to change.
As we sit here, Lance, like we said, there's a lot still to be seen. Coaching staff is part of that. There is a report out that former Bills player Jim Leonard could be under consideration for defensive coordinator.
Yes, that would be an excellent hire. Somebody from outside the building. He was the University of Wisconsin's defensive coordinator for a few years there, and they were phenomenal. There was a lot of talk that he was going to be promoted to head coach. They decided to hire Luke Fickell, former Ohio State interim coach, Cincinnati head coach. Really hasn't worked out all that well. But Leonard went on to the Denver Broncos. He's working with Sean Payton there. I do think, Catherine, that's another thing. When this decision was announced on Tuesday of promoting Joe Brady, the defensive coordinator was the first thing that came to my mind. Who are they hiring to run the defense? Because if you're just promoting from within or keeping Bobby Babich, I like Bobby Babich, but I don't think you can go that route. I think you need that. The scheme needs to change. Maybe not drastically, but it needs to be different, you know, because you look over the years, how many players the Bills have brought in. Like, I think of Puna Ford, for example.
For sure.
Where, like, these talented defensive linemen, or we can go into other positions where you're not getting the most out of them in Buffalo. Is that scheme? Is it coaching? I just think that there's too many reasons not to go outside here and bring somebody in. There's a lot of really good defensive coordinator candidates, even if it's not Leonard, whether it's Anthony Weaver, you know, Raheem Morris isn't going to get one of these head coaching jobs. There are some really defensive coordinators, and the Bills need to bring one of them in.
What I was intrigued about with Leonard is I believe he was running a 3-4 in Denver and even at Wisconsin too. So it's like you said, the Bills were so entrenched in their ways for so long. And I think now maybe they're going to mix it up a bit. Maybe they're going to change some schemes. Maybe they're going to go some new ways. And that could be growing pains for sure. But that could also, you know, if it works, it works.
Yeah. And I think that there's the problem with one of the problems, I think, with the defense they were running, it was so you're kind of boxed in. You can't really give, you can only give so many different looks to other teams. And this past season, I got to give Sean McDermott credit because he did make some adjustments with what they were doing, disguising some coverages, but you can only put so much window dressing on it. Like, you know, if you're in nickel, they're going to run on you. If you're in base, they're going to throw on you. With 3-4 over the years, it, you have the option to be more multiple. You're a lot less predictable. And it allows you to bring in some different types of players. The big question is, do the Bills have players in-house who fit that? Right. I think in the secondary, like, you have Christian Benford, you have Cole Bishop. You, like, we'll see, you know, Maxwell Harrison's going to be healthy and good to go. We'll see if they bring back Tre'Davious White. I would. Taron Johnson, we'll see about him. But you've got some good pieces in the secondary. You've got some building blocks on that defensive line now with Deion Walker and Greg Rousseau in particular. But what do you do at linebacker? There's just a lot of questions here that I'm really interested to hear what Brandon Bean has to say, because it's not just as simple as let's do this. The personnel also comes into play because it's an offseason. You don't have a ton of money to spend.
No, it's, and I think just kind of the new structure of how the head coach is reporting to Brandon Bean versus Brandon and the head coach Sean at the time obviously reporting separately. I'm curious if that changes influence over the roster, kind of what happens there of just, you know, the dynamic shifting a little bit.
For sure. And it's not offensive line, we touched on that in the first segment. I'm curious about that one because it's a big hire. They have to get it right. Whether it's promoting, you know, Austin Gunn from within, going outside, they have to get that right because you might lose two starters in free agency.
Right.
Like, you can't count. You need somebody who's not only able to, that fits with your scheme, but also who can develop, because I think it has been overlooked that Aaron Cromer, he brought David Edwards here. Like, he had a, as much as we can sit here and criticize the coaching staff for some of the decisions they made in personnel, Aaron Cromer is a good example of the positive influence he had. You know, scouting some of the guys they've drafted over years, developing guys like Alec Anderson and Ryan Vandermark to be very, very important depth pieces. And you need to have that pipeline continue because you can't pay everybody. Like, and Osiris Torrence is up for an extension this offseason as well.
It is a fascinating group to look at. And I think just kind of, you know, I'm curious to what's next for Joe Brady's involvement with particular groups. I'm curious how he works with the defense. You know, I don't think he's going to have that influence over the defense. Like you said, bring in a DC who handles that. But still, you're the head coach. You've got to get everyone kind of, you know, riled up and then ready.
It was interesting to me a couple weeks back, Bobby Babich told us like how often he talked to Joe Brady these last couple of years to get his insight on what an offense will do in this situation. And you're probably going to have somebody who's a little bit more willing to, the feedback I think is going to be a little bit more willing on both sides, especially when you have your head coach who's saying, look, like, I know how they're going to attack you this way. Like, what do you think about this? And you have everybody on the same page. I don't think they're going to overhaul that defensive staff. Like, Jamil Adai, I think, is somebody who's probably, like, that's a young coach that I would keep. I thought he did great work under some difficult circumstances this year with injury. But then you look at special teams, Catherine, they lost Chris Tabor.
Yes.
And that becomes even more interesting to me because they had an internal hire, right? He's somebody they probably could have retained if, you know, there was more certainty there. So, you know, Tabor goes to the Miami Dolphins, and I thought he, you know, they didn't get anything out of their punt return group. But overall, I thought, especially from a kick return standpoint, it was a really, they improved on special teams, even though they lost, they went through how many kickers and how many punters this season.
Yeah, it is wild to look back at those, I don't know, just how much they had to rotate there and see what they were still able to do. But yeah, I think that's an interesting one as well of, you also just look at the timing of the coaching cycle of like, all right, who can we still get or who is still interested?
And if Joe Brady's calling plays, I assume the offensive coordinator is going to be an internal hire, whether it be DJ Mangus. We know how close he is to Joe Brady.
Besties.
Ronald Curry, maybe, because really it's somebody who's going to help you organize and really help you with the same. You know, it's going to be a pretty similar dynamic, I think, what DJ and Joe had previously if they do go that route. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here, Catherine.
Yeah.
Between the Senior Bowl, so we finally have some draft talk starting. The Super Bowl is going to obviously be coming up next week. Then we have the Scouting Combine, which is where I think over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see Joe Brady's coaching staff start to piece together. The Combine's a big event for that, a huge networking of guys talking to each other about opportunities and their vision for their team. Start to get a sense of where the Bills are going this offseason, what their plan is going to be for this roster. And then you got free agency.
Yeah.
So, and it is a big free agency. And I think that when you keep hearing about continuity over the last 24 hours, as we sit here on Wednesday morning, but you know, how much are they going to change personnel wise on offense? Reggie Gilliam's also a free agent. Do you bring him back? Because I would, do you keep the receiver group as is?
I think you got to tweak it.
I think you have to as much. Like, I know like Joe Brady did, you know, we heard Brandon Bean's explanation last week about how, you know, if you don't have, you know, you get more out of your tight ends. Well, you might not be able to bring Dawson Knox back either because of the whole money situation. So a lot of big questions here, some intriguing receivers in the draft. This pass rush needs to be bolstered. So, yeah, we're going to learn a lot about this 2026 version of the Bills in the next couple of months.
It is always funny this time of year where I'll have family or friends be like, oh, so what do you do now that the season's done? And you know, we just rehashed all these things coming up. There's so much to cover. I think it's interesting too, just kind of, you know, starting to get a feel for guys that they might like in the draft process. Like you said, Senior Bowl is this week. The Bills do still have some staff down there, different dynamic than usual, obviously, since they were so entrenched in the coaching search. But starting to get a look at these guys, talk to them in the interview process of just what they can bring to the Bills.
And I suspect we're going to see quite a bit of turnover on that defense. If McDermott were coming back, you would think, well, he's going to want Matt Milano back. Like, Shaq Thompson's probably coming back. We can keep going down the list. But with a new defensive coordinator, too, they're going to keep pouring resources into that side of the ball. So how do you balance that with offense as well? Especially, like, I don't know how you can allow both David Edwards and Connor McGovern to leave.
Right.
It's going to be tough.
Messy.
And I like their depth there, but those guys are just so important from what they do to help Josh Allen before the snap. So there's a lot to cover, and there's a lot of questions that obviously we're going to get some answers to when Brandon Bean and Joe Brady talk to reporters on Thursday.
Yes. And from there, you know, we'll hear again from Joe Brady at the Combine, at owners meetings, coaches talk again. So I think just getting more and more about his vision for the team, you know, Thursday's press conference will be a huge chunk of that. But just as it continues to unfold following what's going on there.
I wonder what Terry Pegula's reaction was to watching the New England Patriots get back to the Super Bowl with a second year quarterback and a first year head coach.
Yeah.
That had to be tough to stomach.
I think it was tough to stomach for a lot of this.
That's very true, especially since Drake May didn't play well throughout these playoffs. Like, they didn't get to the Super Bowl because of Drake May necessarily. It was defense with a group that doesn't have a whole lot of talent, at least top tier talent. So for you look at the other, like the Denver Broncos didn't look very good in the AFC Championship game, and it wasn't just their quarterback. I think the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl. That's my, not to spoil my prediction. They look incredible, but
I will echo that prediction.
I think with those conference championship games, the way both were played, honestly, like if you're a Bills fan, you're Terry Pegula, like honestly, probably makes you feel a little bit better, or at least validate your decision to go in a different direction. Just of how quickly Mike Vrabel turned that around. And getting the most out of your players and making just very smart in-game decisions. And the two areas that Sean McDermott failed that Joe Brady has to succeed is fixing the defense and game management. And those are two areas that Mike Vrabel fixed in 12 months.
Yeah, I think it is a fascinating case study to look at what New England did, where I didn't think they were going to be in the mix this quickly. You know, we did our beginning of the season predictions and I was like, oh, they're a couple of years off from getting it all together. And now they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Now they have a lot of money to spend this offseason too. So not only do you have to think about the now, but you have to think about the future. Like, Kansas City is going to come back. They're going to improve their team. Baltimore's got a new head coach. What does that look like? It's just this time of year, getting ready for a Super Bowl. I felt bad for Bills fans watching that game because New England doesn't deserve to be in this game, in my opinion. Denver really doesn't. To me, Buffalo and Jacksonville were the two best teams in the AFC. It's just unfortunate that we had to watch them play each other in the AFC wildcard game.
Yeah, an early knockout round. There is, like we said, so much coming up, both league-wide, Bills-centric, obviously. We'll have all your coverage on buffalonews.com. Make sure you're subscribing and then listening wherever you get your podcasts for whenever we're back.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.